I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, please. The Gospel by Matthew chapter 6, and we're reading at verse 9. And we've been making our way through this pattern prayer on Sunday mornings, and we have come to our 8th study this morning, and I want to talk to you today about tackling temptation. Tackling temptation. And we're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9. We have discovered that this pattern prayer is divided into two. The first three petitions are concerned with God and His glory. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The last three petitions are concerned with man and his needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But let's read from verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Remember, the speaker is the Lord Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then back, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, just a couple of pages previous. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's keep our Bibles open, if you please, at Matthew 4 and Matthew chapter 6. Tackling temptation. Mark Anthony was known as the silver-throated orator of Rome. He was a brilliant man. He was a strong leader. He was a courageous soldier. One thing he lacked, however, was the strength to say no to temptation. On the outside, he was impressive. He was magnificent. On the inside, he was weak and vulnerable. On one occasion, his tutor became so enraged at him that he said, O Marcus, O colossal child, able to conquer the world, but unable to resist temptation. When it comes to temptation, many of us are like the little boy that got a spanking for eating the cookies that his mommy told him not to eat. The mother said to her little son, You should have turned a deaf ear to him. The little boy had blamed his friend. His friend, he said, had incited him to take the cookies. And mommy said, You should have turned a deaf ear to him. And the little boy said, But mommy, I don't have a deaf ear. British writer Oscar Wilde said, I can resist anything except temptation. Can you and I not identify with that this morning? Is it not true that many of us have a deaf ear when it comes to temptation? William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He said on one occasion these words, Though if not greatly deceived. I have had some degree of experimental acquaintance with Jesus Christ for almost 40 years. Though I have borne the ministerial character for upwards of 25 years, though perhaps I have been of little use, some little use, in the Church of Jesus Christ, and though I have had a greater share of esteem among religious people than I had reason to expect, yet he says, after all, it is possible for me in one single hour of temptation to blast my character, to ruin my public usefulness, to render my warmest Christian friends ashamed of owning me. You see, one thing that is common among every one of us who are the Lord's this morning is that we are tempted every day in many ways. The ministry is not immunity. I am tempted just like you every day, every way. Being a child of God does not exempt you from temptation. That's why we need to use this petition that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us when he said, lead us not into temptation. Now, if you look at chapter 6 very quickly this morning, you'll notice that verse 11 deals with our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12 deals with our spiritual needs. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13 deals with our moral needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, at the beginning of every day, we should come into the presence of God and say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, at first, that sounds like a very strange request. Because we know that the Lord will never lead us into a situation where we can fall, where we will be ensnared. James tells us in no uncertain terms that God does not tempt any man. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So what does this phrase really mean? The Greek word here has two meanings. It can mean temptation, which has as its goal to cause a person to sin. Or it can mean a trial or a test concerning the strength of your faith. And so we could translate it like this, Lord, lead us not into the power of temptation. Lead us not into the hands of temptation. Lord, do not allow us to be brought under the control of anything that would ensnare us, that would incite us, that would seduce us to sin. You see, temptation is a solicitation to do wrong. Temptation, as you know, is when you're asked to do it. Sin is when you do it. Now, I wonder this morning, are we really concerned as Christian believers about overcoming temptation? I heard about a man who went to the doctor and he said, Doctor, I've been misbehaving lately and my conscience is bothering me. And so I thought that I would come to you that you might be able to give me something to help me. The doctor said, well, what do you expect me to do for you? Do you expect me to give you something that will strengthen your willpower? And no, said the man, I'm hoping that you'll give me something that will weaken my conscience. You see, are we not a bit like that? I mean this morning, as a child of God, do you have a strong desire to overcome temptation? Would you rather be a victor than a victim? Would you rather be an overcomer, or would you rather be someone who is overcome? That's why we need to pray this prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, how does the Lord lead us? Well, one of the ways the Lord leads us is by example. And what better example can there be than that of the Lord Jesus in learning how to tackle temptation? If you come to Matthew chapter 4 for a moment or two this morning, there are three ingredients here. First of all, we see our enemy is here, that's Satan. Secondly, we see the experiences here. That's temptation. Thirdly, we see that the example is here. That's the Lord Jesus. And so this is a terrific passage on the subject of tackling temptation. And I want to give you three facts this morning, or three things about temptation that flow out of this passage where the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil. First of all, I want you to notice the fact of it. The fact of it. Look at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Someone has defined temptation like this. Temptation is the devil trying to get you to fulfill a God-given desire, a God-given drive in the wrong way. No one who has ever lived, not everyone who has ever lived has been tempted. Doesn't matter this morning whether you're young or old. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter this morning whether you are intelligent or illiterate. It doesn't matter this morning whether you're a brand new Christian. It doesn't matter whether you're a seasoned veteran of God. Temptation has broken up more marriages. It has destroyed more families. It has killed more ministries than anything else and everything else put together. The fact of temptation. Now, this fact is made a little clearer if you look at the passage. Look at the period that is identified here, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then, when? Well, look at Matthew chapter 3 for a moment. Look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark in his gospel puts it, and immediately. From a season of glory and honor to a season of suffering and conflict. First came the testimony of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then came the sweeping suggestion of the devil, if thou be the Son of God. After the approval of heaven, there came the assault of hell. After the dove, the devil. After the benediction, the battle. From a Jordan experience to a wilderness conflict. It reminds us, as Matthew Henry says, that special tokens of divine favor will not secure any of us from being tempted. My dear Christian friend, this morning have you discovered that Satan will attack you as he has attacked our Lord after the greatest spiritual experiences? I wonder, have you ever gotten into an argument with your wife or with your husband on the way home from church? Wonder, have you ever had a domestic when you've just left the Lord's table? Don't be looking so pious. There's a spiritual principle here. It's what I call the devil after the dove. And when the Lord does something great, and when you have the approval of God, and when you are elated spiritually, then you're going to face the attack of the devil. As a matter of fact, the more God blesses you, the more Satan will counterattack. I don't want to alarm you this morning, but I do want to forewarn you. I think it was Leonard Raven who said, when God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil will open the gates of hell to blast us. Don't start coasting. Don't ever say as a Christian, well, I've got it made, because the enemy is going to a counterattack. The period that is identified. Look at verse 1 again. Notice the place that is identified. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you know where Adam fell? In a garden. Do you know where the Lord Jesus overcame? In the wilderness. I like that. You know why? Because it knocks to smithereens the so-called social gospel. Do you know what the social gospel says? We've got to change man's environment. If man has got the right environment, then we can fix man. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Where did man get into difficulty? He got into difficulty in a beautiful garden. I mean, he had no better environment. There was no better environment than that. Where did Christ overcome? In the wilderness. You see, man's problem this morning is greater than his environment. The matter of overcoming the devil is not a matter of isolation. The matter of overcoming the devil is a matter of insulation. It's God in you. It's God with you. It's God through you. Working in you through his mighty power. Nowhere in Palestine could the Lord Jesus have been more isolated. And yet it was in the wilderness that he was tempted. Some years ago, a school, I think it was a Christian school perhaps, or a school that had some religious connotation, had this in its catalogue. Our campus is located 15 miles from any known sin. Our campus is located 15 miles from any known sin. It's obvious that the administrators of that college didn't have a proper understanding of Satan's method of temptation or of the corruption of the human heart. Spyros Zohites is a great scholar. He's a Christian and he's a Greek. And he told on one occasion how that he went back to his homeland. He went back to the island of Corfu. And while he was there, he visited a monastery high on a hill that was overlooking the beach. And he saw an old monk there. And the monk was asking the people who were passing by to get him binoculars so that he could look at the people who were on the beach. Now, I may be wrong, but my dear friends, I have a notion that that old monk wasn't wanting to look at men on the beach. You see, here was a man who was cut off geographically from the temptations of the world, but the pool was still there. He was looking for binoculars. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Don't allow me to get into a situation in my life that will be so strong that I can't resist. Look at the period that is identified and the place that is identified. And then verse 1 again. Look at the person that is identified. Then was Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you think you're being tempted because you've done something wrong? Something's not just right in your life. And you feel that's the reason you're being tempted. If you were a better Christian, if you were climbing the ladder, as it were, if you were a superior Christian, you wouldn't be tempted like you are. I wonder, do you feel like that this morning? I have people who ring me up at times, and they ask me the question, well, I'm being tempted. Is that sinful? No, because the Lord Jesus was tempted. For 40 days in the wilderness, Christ was tempted of the devil. Did you know that the Lord Jesus was the Son of the living God? Did you know that Christ was sinlessly perfect and perfectly sinless? He was sinless, he was perfect, and yet he was tempted. Do you know what that tells me this morning? You don't have to be sinful to be tempted. We need to stress that because there are some of you who feel that temptation is sinful. You're bad and that's why you're being tempted. My dear friends, it's not a sin to be tempted, for the Lord Jesus was tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. Let me tell you something else this morning. You don't have to give in to temptation because the Lord Jesus didn't. You remember what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. Every temptation that you feel, Christ felt. In all points, tempted as we are. And yet he never sinned one time. And that tells me clearly that it's not a sin to be tempted. Just want you to see the fact of it. Temptation. Look at Matthew 4 again and notice the focus of it. Not only the fact of it, but the focus of it. How did Satan tempt the Lord Jesus? Where was his activity concentrated? Incidentally, you do believe that there's a personal devil, don't you? He's a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a seducer, he's a blasphemer. He's not some mythical creature with horns and hooves, as is often portrayed. He's not the fun. He's not the figure of fun the third-rate comedians make him out to be. He's a real enemy. He's got unceasing power. He uses this unceasing power to hinder us and hinder the work of grace and the life of every believer. Peter describes him like this. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, how did the devil tempt the Lord Jesus? How does the devil tempt us? You see how he tempted Christ? He said, first of all, turn these stones to bread. He said, secondly, cast yourself down. He said, thirdly, fall down and worship me. He was in all points tempted like as we are. Maybe you're doubting that this morning. Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, did Jesus Christ really face the temptations that I face? Was Jesus Christ ever tempted to drive through a 30-mile speed limit at 100 miles per hour? Was Jesus Christ ever tempted to smoke? No. Well, you say, I have been. I mean, how can it say that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet he never faced some of the things that I'm facing in this incoming week? My friend, you need to understand this morning, there are only three temptations. All other temptations are variants of these three. And Christ felt the three of them right here in this passage. They are the same temptations that you're going to face in the workplace in this coming week. John summarizes them like this. Listen. For all that is in the world. Now, did you get that wee word all? For all that is in the world. One, the lust of the flesh. Two, The lust of the eyes. Three, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. You see, all temptation is enshrined in these three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The first temptation is a temptation in the area of our passions. The second temptation is a temptation in the area of our possessions. The third temptation is a temptation in the area of our pride. And either in passions, in possessions, or in pride, the devil is out to get you and me. Christ faced three of them. Look very quickly at the passage. First of all, Satan attacked Christ on the physical plane. Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread, the lust of the flesh. Enjoy things, appetite." I suppose we could describe it with the word "do it." You see, here's Satan, and he's tempting Christ to satisfy his needs. He says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." After all, said Satan, you're hungry. You've got the power to turn these stones into bread. Wouldn't God expect you to use your power to take care of yourself? Pamper yourself. Put bread above the will of God. You see, Christ felt the appeal of the body. And in that temptation is captured and encapsulated all of the desires, all of the temptations, all of the yearnings of your flesh. Do you realize that one of Satan's most successful strategies is to tempt us to satisfy our needs in the wrong way? Do you know what temptation is? A temptation is an opportunity to satisfy a legitimate need in a little illegitimate way. You see, the devil is a pervert. All the devil can do is take what God has made, what God has created, and he takes it, and he perverts it, and he twists it. You see, God has given you and I desires. And those desires are not sinful in and of themselves. The desire for our food is normal. But when we take that desire and use it in an unlawful way, we are guilty of gluttony. Sex in and of itself is not wrong. The Bible says the marriage bed is not undefiled. But the devil wants us to satisfy that drive, that normal desire, in an improper way. He wants us to twist it, to pervert it. And if we satisfy our desires outside the will of God, we are sinning. Satan attacked Christ on the physical plane. Look at verse 5. Satan attacked Christ on the mental plane. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, ye see, even the devil can quote scripture, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. John refers to this as the pride of life, the desire to achieve things, ambition. I suppose the first one we could use the word doing, the second one we could use the word being. The pinnacle of the temple was about 500 feet above the Kidron Valley, and according to early tradition, James, the head of the Jerusalem church, was martyred by being thrown down from that portico. And here, Satan tries to convince the Lord Jesus to jump, quoting an Old Testament passage as support that he wouldn't be hurt. What was the purpose of this second temptation? Well, look at Christ's response, verse 7. It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which says, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. What does it mean to tempt God? What does it mean to put God to the test? I think it means to put yourself in a situation where God has to perform a miracle to rescue you. You see what Satan was doing? Here's what he was doing. He was trying to get the Lord Jesus to live by chance and not by faith, tempting the Lord. How often we have heard of Christian believers who were ill and they have gone to those who claim to have, quote, the gift of healing. And they have come home believing what they have been told, that if they attend a surgery, if they attend the doctor, if they attend outpatients, if they attend a hospital, it's a sure sign that they have no faith in God to heal them. My dear friends, I want to tell you this morning, that's not living by faith. That's living by chance. And sometimes that can happen to Christians and to churches, believers who feel led of God to quit their work, to step into the Lord's work, and within a very short time, they're back at their employer's door, and they're begging for their jobs back again. Why? Because they have stepped out of the will of God. They haven't been walking by faith, they're walking by chance. So I want you to see the devil, and he's attacking Christ on the physical plane, and then he's attacking Christ on the mental plane. Look at verse 9 very quickly. You'll notice they attack Christ on the spiritual plane. Again, verse 8, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. John describes this as the lust of the flesh, the desire to obtain things having. Doing, being, having. In the first temptation, Satan suggested what Christ ought to do. In the second temptation, Satan suggested what the Father ought to do for Christ. In the third temptation, Satan suggested what he could do for Christ. He says, if you fall down and worship me, all these things will I give you. Do you see it, Jesus? Do you see it? You know that your eyes have an appetite. Did you know that? You ever heard the expression, feast your eyes upon that? You ever struggle to get through a big meal, and at the end of it you couldn't finish it? You've been up under at the Giant's Causeway, at the Causeway Hotel, and you've got the mixed grill. If you're up tomorrow night, try the mixed grill. It'll sort you out. And you've looked at it. You said, my eyes were bigger than my stomach. You know that your eyes can get you into a lot of trouble. In our culture today, we see things and we want to buy them. And today's stores are putting pressure upon us to become more stylish, to improve our image. And of course, we're bewitched by beauty. And we drive into a neighborhood and we see someone else's house, and we come out of that neighborhood and we become dissatisfied with our own homes, and advertising on the television appeals to the eyes, and we need to cultivate the attitude of the psalmist, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Now, all I want you to see this morning is the focus of temptation. Every temptation that you and I will face from today on right down this week will come along one of these avenues. Physical, the lust of the flesh. Mental, the pride of life. Spiritual, the lust of the eyes. Christ faced every temptation that you faced. And thank God he overcame every one of them. You say, hi. Look at very quickly. Not only the fact of temptation and the focus of temptation, but the foiling of temptation. How did Christ overcome the enemy? How did he overcome temptation? Three things. The Lord Jesus had the inspired Word of God. The inspired Word of God. How did Christ answer Satan? By the Word of God. Every time the devil would come to Christ, the Lord Jesus would say, it is written, it is written, it is written. And three times Christ ran the devil through with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He was living by the Word of God. You know, I like to think that during those 40 days of trial in the wilderness for our Lord Jesus Christ, he was storing up the Word of God in his heart. And isn't it interesting that he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy? And if you know anything about scholarship, you'll know that the critics, the liberals and the modernists, they have torn the book of Deuteronomy apart. Time and time again, they have torn the book of Deuteronomy apart. And yet the Lord Jesus sets a seal upon this part of the Old Testament, for his three quotations are taken from the book of Deuteronomy, and he says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He fed his soul on the Word of God, and when the devil came, he gave him the sword of the Spirit. C.H. Spurgeon, the greatest preacher possibly since the Apostle Paul, was asked how a Christian could obtain a thorough Bible knowledge. The great preacher replied, he said, there are three rules to follow in order to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Here they are. One, read the Bible. Two, read the Bible. Three, read the Bible. My dear friends, there are truths in this book, and when you read them and learn them and appropriate them, you will be able to use them against the devil. It was a saying of Martin Luther's. He says, I have had great troubles of mind, but as soon as I laid hold on any place of Scripture and stead my soul on it as my chief anchor, immediately my temptations vanished away. When Satan tempts you, do you know what it is to whip out the sword of the Spirit and defeat the devil? When Satan tempts you, my dear friends, with depression, do you know those verses to go to in the Word of God and use them to withstand the devil's onslaught? When Satan tempts you with lust, do you know those verses in the Scripture that you can give the devil? When Satan tempts you with jealousy and envy and an unforgiving spirit and bitterness, do you know those verses in the Word of God that you can take and slay the enemy with them? Read the Bible. There was the inspired Word of God. Look at verse 1. There was the indwelling Spirit of God. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, when the Lord Jesus allowed himself to be tempted, he was guided by the Spirit of God within. We've got the Holy Spirit this morning. And John assures us. Isn't this a wonderful verse? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't it wonderful to know this morning that there is one who is in us who is mightier than Satan? I heard about a lion who was walking through the jungle one day, and he was such a proud lion. And he came up to this little rabbit and he said to the rabbit, who's the king of the jungle? The little rabbit looked into the lion's face and he said, oh mighty lion, you are the king of the jungle. And the old lion shook his mane and he walked a little bit further in the jungle and he came to a monkey and he said, grrr, who's the king of the jungle? And the monkey looked into the face of the lion and he said, mighty lion, you're the king of the jungle. And then he came to a bull elephant who was about 16 feet tall with husks protruding from him about 6 feet long. And he looked into the face of the bull elephant and he says, grr, who's the king of the jungle? That old elephant looked down at the lion, and he took that lion up with his long trunk, and he lifted the lion over his head, and he flung the lion against the oak tree. And as the old lion hit the base of the oak tree, like melted butter, he just looked up to the old bull elephant and he said, "Well, just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to get so sore about it." My dear friends, I want to tell you this morning, I know the answer to Satan. I know the answer to Satan's temptation. His name is Jesus Christ, and he dwells in us by his Spirit. And when we're in the heat of the battle, we have got the inspired Word of God. We have got the indwelling Spirit of God, and we have got another resource. We have got the interceding Son of God. He's a great high priest, isn't he? And he's constantly interceding on our behalf. If you had a difficult week, maybe you felt the heat of the battle. Maybe you've been tempted. Many ways. Your Lord is watching over you. Your Lord is praying for you. How he watcheth o'er his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne in the heat of the battle. When you feel the fierceness of the enemy, remember, you've got the inspired Word of God, the indwelling Spirit of God, the interceding Son of God. He's our great exemplar. And in a moment or two, we're going to remember him as our great Redeemer. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And after this manner, Christ taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation." Lord, don't let us be brought under the power of temptation, into the hands of temptation. My friends, this morning we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Christ has already conquered. And we are more than conquerors through him. I heard about an old African American. You need to be careful what you call people today. I think that's the correct political term. I heard about an old African American man who was asked, now that he had become a Christian, now that he was a child of God, he was asked, "Have you got the victory, sir, over the devil?" And the old man said, "No, I haven't got the victory. I've got the victor." My friends, we can go forward with confidence this morning. We have the victor, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, bless your word to all our hearts. We tell thee, Lord, and thou dost know, because we don't have to tell thee. Thou art all-knowing. But Lord, we're tempted every day in every way. And Father, we feel the fierceness of the devil at times. Sometimes, Lord, he comes as the lion, showing us his fierceness. Sometimes he comes as the angel of light, showing us his sweetness, but all the time seeking our downfall. Seeking is to bring us into that place, Lord, where we would ruin our testimony. Thank you, Father, that our eternal salvation is guaranteed, it's secure, will never be lost. But Lord, we realize that before we leave this scene of time, we could blast our testimony. Father, we would pray what one old warrior prayed, "Help us to get home before dark. Help us, our Father, to get home before darkness falls upon this world. Help us, Lord, to get home before the darkness of tribulation will fall upon this world." Thank God we will. Help us to get home, Father, before darkness would fall into our own lives. Oh God, we pray, help us to finish well. Some have started. Help them to continue. Some of us, our Father, are more than halfway through our life's experience. Oh God, I pray of thee, give me the grace not to make a fool of myself. Give your people the grace not to make fools of themselves. Oh God, we pray that we might finish well. Grant our Father that this phrase will be constantly upon our lips. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.